This is Red 42 Radio, the most exciting, hard-hitting, and controversial hour in talk radio. And here are your hosts, two Southern boys from metropolitan New York City, Peter Scoop Stanton and Jim Lancia.
The police in New York City, just a boy right through the park. In a place of mistaken identity, they put a bullet through his heart.
Everybody, this is Peter Scoop Stanton on Red 42. I'm here with Jim Lancia, and this is another first for Red 42. We are doing a remote broadcast. It doesn't matter where we're at now because we're not going to be there by the time you listen to this. I'm here with the Jared Taylor. First order of business is that we want to remember Colorado Deputy Sheriff Heath Gum of the Adams County Sheriff's Office. End of watch, January 24th, 2018. He was shot and killed during a foot pursuit. Unfortunately, the shooter is in custody, and he's still breathing. But once again, we have Jared Taylor as our very special guest. He's appeared on The Political Cesspool, Phil Donahue Show, the legendary Bob Grant Radio Show, and the unflappable Queen Latifah Talk Show. How you doing, Jared?
Very well. It's a pleasure to be on your program.
Yep, it's great to have you here. Jim, you with us today?
Yes, I am. It's good to have you with us, Mr. Taylor. I really want to get down and deep into this subject, and I think you're the right guy to talk to on it.
Well, great. It's my pleasure to have joined you.
Pete, do you mind if I start off with a few questions for Mr. Taylor?
By all means, Jim, take it away. Jim Lancy, everybody.
All right. Okay, so basically, unless you know much about us, Mr. Taylor, I have a law enforcement background, retired police officer. Pete has some law enforcement background. So we kind of like to get right down and deep and investigative in many of the subjects we talk about. So since you're well-versed in the problems we're having as ethnic whites in all Western Christian nations, I'd like to get down deep into the what's happening and who's behind it. So why don't you start off in telling us where you think we are right now as white Europeans, and do you feel the situation is a lot more dire than people realize?
The situation for whites is very serious. Right about, but it depends on where you are. There are some Eastern European countries that are holding out very well. I'm sure you're aware of what are called the Visegrad countries, Hungary, Poland, the Czech Republic, and Slovakia. They are members of the European Union, but they refuse to accept non-white immigrants. They put it in terms. And so I think those four countries, also some of the former Yugoslav countries, the Baltic republics, those are not in imminent danger the way the rest of the white world is. All of the countries that we consider as having been part of the West, so to speak, on the free side of the Iron Curtain, all of those countries are in serious danger of being swamped through non-white immigration. But Russia still has a pretty solid white majority. And those that were on the other side of the barrier that separated the communist world and the capitalist world, they still have a pretty healthy attitude towards race and towards nation. Just how long they will continue that way is a matter of discussion. But I am encouraged by the way at which those of us in the so-called free world are beginning to realize what is at stake in terms of the demographic futures of our countries. So I think that more and more white people are waking up all around the world.
Okay. That's good. I see that only in the East, only in Russia, like you said. Now, it seems to me that every Western European nation and then the West, including the U.S., Australia, New Zealand, everywhere where, you know, it's not in those locations you said, which I think are going to be part of this problem in the very near future anyway. But where are we going to go if this trend continues? Because I see it as a complete genocidal, maniacal political effort to destroy Western white European Christian culture. And I know there's a plan behind it. And that's the thing that people don't understand. This is not some mistake of political stupidity and where, you know, leftist politicians just want to do what they think is right because it's politically correct. I think anybody who knows the real depth of this diabolical plan realized that the Kalergi plan back in the 20s was the beginning of all this. And those behind the Kalergi plan are outright set on destroying, in their own words, white Western Christian culture, and even the white race in general, by mixing with brown, black, and Islam. Now, those are in their own words. They even give an award out for that even now. And Angela Merkel was a recipient of one of those awards. So was the EU president at one time. So they actually give an award, I think, every 2 years for the most race-mixing European leader and as part of the Kalergi plan. They call it the Charlemagne Award now because they kind of want to, I guess, disguise it a little bit. What do you have to say about the Kalergi plan?
I don't have much to say about it, and I've never heard of the Charlemagne Award.
Well, it's a well-known award that they give out every 2 years to a European leader that has done their part to race mix, basically. And they say it outward. So maybe when you're done here, you should look it up, because this is a very important thing. The Kalergi plan, I mean, I could read it, but it's basically, it was actually a Hungarian Japanese mixed man who actually wanted to indoctrinate the plan to mix the West with browns, blacks, and Islam to easily control the races of Europe. Now, I'm not going to read the whole thing here, but that's maybe in one of the breaks, I'll just bring up part of what he says. And then, because this is what's behind it, the whole European Union, they actually call him the father of the European Union. So the basic premise of the European Union to flood the West with black, brown, and Islam under the pretense first of Syrian refugees, then as migrant immigrants, is all based on the Kalergi plan. Go ahead. I'll let you speak on that.
Well, I think the person who is generally credited as being the father of the European Union is Robert Schuman. He was the person behind the European Coal and Steel Community. I think that I'm really one of the first people who was involved in a serious way in what became the European Union. No, of Kalergi, he predates Robert Schuman, but he had a somewhat different.
This is Red 42 with.
Liberty is not free. Its costs are innumerable. Without monetary funding, the valiant efforts of freedom-loving Americans become diminished or outright defeated. We present a solution, the Give Me Liberty Fund. The plan is quite simple. Invite individual Americans to contribute less than a dollar a day. These monetary funds are used to promote liberty-minded media, organizations, events, candidates, movements, and speakers. In the spirit of transparency, all expenditures are published. Patriotic business owners provide discounted products and services to Give Me Liberty Fund members. Our greatest strength is in numbers. Go to GiveMeLibertyFund.com and become part of the solution today. GiveMeLibertyFund.com. Participate in the peaceful restoration of the greatest and freest country in the world.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
Attention Liberty News Radio listeners. Hard-hitting talk radio has never been and never will be supported by the mainstream in America. Hard-hitting talk radio is taking on the mainstream press like never before. News the networks refuse to use is one of the best ways to educate people. We invite all liberty-loving Americans to join with us to restore the principles of our founding fathers and promote God, family, and country in the media and our lives. Please help spread the liberty message with your generous donation. You can go online at libertynewsradio.com right now and make a donation online. Or call 801-756-9133 and make a donation over the phone. That's libertynewsradio.com and 801-756-9133. Make a donation today.
Back with Red 42, here's Scoop Stanton and Jim Lancia.
All right, everybody, we're back on Red 42. This is Scoop Stanton with Jim Lancia and very special guest Jared Taylor. Jared is the editor of AmericanRenaissance.com or Amren.com, A-M-R-E-N.com. He also is an author. He wrote the book Paved with Good Intentions about 20, 25 years ago. That book was my awakenings. The next break, I'll tell you how Jared got me into the movement. He also wrote If We Do Nothing and White Identity, which I have all of them except If We Do Nothing. Also, Jared, you brought up a good point about Russia. Is Russia letting these third world immigrants, or blacks, browns, Islamic people into Russia?
No, the Russians are pretty good about maintaining their national national population. Russians seem to have almost instinctive sense of the need to preserve their Russianness. They're like practically all other people around the world, like the Japanese, the Koreans, the Turks, or the Nigerians. Wherever you go practically in the world, except for in the West, white countries that were part of the non-communist world, wherever you go, people understand that their national character depends on a certain type of population. And they realize that if their population changes substantially, then their society will change. The Russians, just like most of the other Eastern Europeans, have a very healthy and natural, normal attitude towards this kind of thing. And so they don't just let any person in who wants to come.
Wow. And do you think that since Russia is not letting these people come to their nation, that since with the conspiracy theorists on the left, you think that they're saying, well, Russia's inclusion of Trump's to get him elected, since Trump doesn't want these people in, he wants to build the wall, and Russia, they're not letting these people in. Do you think that there's a pattern or a connection with that?
I think that the elites in this country dislike Russia for several reasons. One is the fact that it is not part of this multi-culti, let's all hold hands, sing kumbaya, and turn into a cafe au lait society. Another is the explicit rejection by Vladimir Putin of the kind of fetishism of homosexuality, almost considering it a superior mode of being, which is sort of the tendency that you see in the United States, the sort of glorification of the first open homosexual who does this or that, homosexual marriage, all of these things. The fact that the Russians reject that, that infuriates our liberal rulers. So I think, also the fact that Russia is an independent power with nuclear weapons. They don't just knuckle under when we tell them to do something. And for those three reasons, really, the fact that Russia is a country that has its own interests, does not hesitate to act in its own interests, whether it's in the Ukraine or whether it's the Crimea, the fact that it is not part on its way to becoming a multicultural society, and the fact that it does not glorify homosexuality. I think those are some of the main reasons why our liberal elites are afraid of Russia. They're afraid of a strong power that dissents on some of these important matters. And I think there may very well have been an idea in Russia that they preferred that Donald Trump win the election. Now, to what extent there was any kind of skullduggery or maneuvering to help that to happen, I do recall seeing that there were some estimate as to what, I can't remember what the figure was, but that there were these Russian accounts that bought ads on Facebook. I remember doing the calculation at the time, and it was 1/2000th of a percent of the amount of money that was actually spent on campaign ads. And the idea that we don't get involved trying to influence other people's elections, assuming that these Russian accounts really were a representative for some kind of a Russian government effort to influence the election, which is not established either. But it was just an infinitesimal drop in the bucket in any attempt to sway the election and to somehow pretend that these goofy little ads on Facebook somehow threw the election to Donald Trump, that he was all involved in it. It's a big conspiracy. I think this is just fantastic baloney.
Right. Now, what about the conspiracy that, that Russia wanted Trump to be president? But on the same side, you have something. You have RT television, or Russian Today television, which is broadcast here in D.C., and you also have the Sputnik radio. I mean, the liberals can't have it both ways, even though as much as they try. What say you about the propaganda coming from Russia, from those two media outlets versus the Trump presidency?
Well, of course, for years we had Radio Free Europe and we had Radio Liberty. Radio Free Europe was broadcast to all of the Eastern European countries. Radio Liberty was broadcast to Russia. I believe that whether or not those still exist, we still have the Voice of America. It is the official government voice of the United States. It broadcast in Russia and all of these Eastern European languages. And to somehow pretend that the Russians don't have the right to broadcast the same way is just an idiotic and obviously hypocritical double standard. I listen to Radio Sputnik quite a lot.
Me too.
One of the reasons is that it's sort of straight news. You don't get all the sort of holding and emoting by lady journalists who tell us what they felt when they were interviewing somebody. No, you get straight news, straight discussion. And just to keep my French up, I generally listen to Radio Sputnik in French, but their English language broadcast is interesting. They have a distinctly anti-American point of view, and sometimes what they say about the United States, I think, is simply incorrect.
Right.
However, they're interested in hard news for the most part. None of the sort of fluffy stories about is the Ugandan government doing enough to prepare young Ugandan girls for the AIDS epidemic, you know, and you get into some sort of long discussion on the BBC about whether or not this is all being done properly. They don't mess with that sort of fluffy stuff.
Right.
It's good hard politics, and I like that.
Right, even though it's very, very left of center. Were you on RT at one time?
Yes, I've been on RT several times.
Yeah, I thought so, yeah, but I'm sure that
they have a very substantial studio and operation right in Washington, D.C. You can go down there and you feel like you're in an NBC studio. It's a very, very well laid out place with very slick operators. Their announcers are pretty good. No, it's a very impressive setup they have.
Right. Sam Bushman's telling me he was there, but I'm sure they asked him to leave because he'd be taking over operation. But Jim, what else you have for Mr. Taylor?
Well, I want to get back to what I was talking about before. But see, you guys are talking about the political views and the media. I mean, you know, it's all controlled. And this is why we're in this position, because we're We're letting the media set the narrative. We're letting them explain what truth and lies are all about. I mean, we're actually starting to believe the hype that the media is throwing out there. We know the media is controlled. They're going to spin anything they want, and we keep going off of what the media says or what politicians say. They're all liars. I mean, one thing about me, Jared, you got to understand, I'm a different kind of person here. I call it all out. I call all out the liars. It bothers me, and I know it's all baloney, and I'd love to say something else on here, but we're on FCC here. So one thing I wanted to do is get back, and I know a lot of our listeners are very aware of who's behind us. Just a quick note, I'm not going to harp on this Kudenhoff thing, Kalergi thing, but Count Richard von Kudenhoff-Kalergi, founder of the president of the Pan-European Union, basically the original EU, said this in his 1925 book. The man of the future will be mixed race. The Eurasian Negroid race of the future will replace the diversity of peoples. Russian Bolshevism constitutes a decisive step toward this purpose, where a small group of communist spiritual aristocrats govern the country. The general staff of both are recruited from Europe's spiritual leader race, the Jews. From the European quantity people, the mass, two quality races rise up, blood aristocracy and Jewry. Both believe in their higher mission of their better blood, the superiority of their spirit predestined them to become a main factor of the future nobility.
All right, Jim. All right, Jeff Beck's telling us we're at the halfway point. This is Red 42 with Jared Taylor. After the break, we're going to get down and dirty of what Jim and I know, which is law enforcement, and looking for Jared's opinion. Red 42, Liberty News Radio. Check us out, red42.com, amrin.com.
Protecting your liberties. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Are you a native son or daughter of the South who pleads the stars and bars? Someone not born in Dixieland, but who is a Johnny Reb at heart and looking for a place to shop that promotes Southern heritage? Well, your search is over. Dixie Republic is the place to go for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride. Inside the log cabin just outside Travelers Rest, South Carolina, Dixie Republic has t-shirts, hats, videos, flags, books, belt buckles, and some of the best mouth-watering barbecue sauce that will ever touch your lips. There's just about everything you want honoring the South at Dixie Republic. Well, you say that South Carolina's a bit too far for you to drive? Have no fear, my friend. All of this is just a mouse click away. Go online at www.dixierepublic.com. You're home for all things celebrating the Confederacy and promoting Southern pride.
Ladies and gentlemen, what is the KQ? You know, the kosher question. Most Americans purchase their groceries while having no idea that almost every essential food product on the shelves is certified kosher by one of over 1,000 rabbinical agencies across the country. Indeed, the kosher question encompasses not only food and religion, but also affects our economics and politics. In an effort to promote awareness to this kosher question, developers have recently published an app for your smartphone that will not only educate users on this little-known phenomenon, but also features a database of food products that have not been kosher certified. The Koshertified app has prominent advertisement on TPC's homepage, or you can check out its website at koshertified.com. Wouldn't it be prudent to start eating in favor of your own interests? The Koshertified app will be your start. Download it now at koshertified.com. That's KOSCHERTIFIED.com.
I'm Michael Hill, President of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern Nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
We're back, and so are you. You're listening to Red 42 on Liberty News Radio.
Okay, this is not Robert Plant, but Peter Scoop Stanton on Red42.org. Last commercial break, some individual said Red42.com. That idiot does not know what he's talking about. We are Red42.org. Also, we're at Ameren.com. All right, a little bit about Jared Taylor. About 20-plus years ago, I happened to come across Paved with Good Intentions. And I read this book, and I said, wow. This gentleman was printing and saying things that I either said in public or was saying to myself. So after I read the book, I went online and said, I got to find out more about this Jared Taylor guy. And I found Ameren.com. And on Ameren.com, they had some links. And one of the links was the Council of Conservative Citizens website. And I was checking that out. I was like, wow, this is some good stuff. Where's all this? So then they had links on the CFCC website, and one of them was the political cesspool. I said, you got to be kidding me. I got to check this thing out. So I went on the political cesspool website and listened to it, sent Mr. Edwards some email saying, hey, I love your work. He said, thanks, and we got to talking. So fast forward, I'm more or less here today talking to Jared Taylor on the radio because of Jared Taylor. Now, Jared, I'm not going to do a kiss your tuchus anymore, but anyways,
yeah, really,
let's get back to me. Say again?
No, go ahead. You said it.
Yep, and without me, Jim Lansing would not have a radio career. But, all right.
Yeah, like it's really doing much for me.
Right. All right, Jared, let's get back to business. This is a show where many law enforcement listen to us due to Jim's very stellar career in my brief eventful career. Should law enforcement profile people during their interaction with the public?
I think law enforcement officers constantly profile people, and justifiably so. They pay more attention to men than to women because they know that men are more violent and more crime-prone. They pay more attention to young people than old people because young people, compared to old people, are more violent and crime-prone. I think they instinctively pay more attention to blacks than to Asians, for example, because blacks, compared to Asians or whites, are more violent and more crime-prone. It would be absolutely idiotic if police officers treated every single individual as a brand-new case and refused to recognize patterns. I think that racial profiling is a legitimate police tool, and people should be instructed in its proper use, just as they're instructed in proper use of weapons. The idea that there are no patterns whatsoever is ridiculous. People recognize that men are stopped and patted down much more often than women. Nobody says, oh, this is some sort of unfair female privilege, that this is an illegitimate approach to crime stopping. No, everybody understands the difference. Well, the races work in exactly the same way. In fact, the difference between crime rates between blacks and whites is almost as great as the difference in crime rates between men and women. So to completely ignore that is to live in a fantasy land and absolutely tie the hands of any competent police officer.
Okay, but what about critics like, say, like Bill de Blasio and all these other yahoos who's never fired a gun or even let alone pick up that says, you can't racial profile people. That's racism. What do you say to the critics? Because, I mean, Jim will tell you the amount of people that he stopped, questioned, and frisked. What do you say to those people saying, like, well, there's a reason why cops stop black people, stop Hispanic people, stop men, stop young people?
They're living in a fantasy land. I suspect that if you were to make an argument based on sex or age, they would grudgingly have to agree. If Bill de Blasio said to the police officers, look, you are in your police stop, you've got to frisk as many women as you stop men. People would say, this guy is nuts. They'd vote him out of office. But the reasons why we do not do that are exactly the same as the reasons we don't stop and frisk as many old people as young people. I mean, it is a refusal to recognize patterns when patterns fly in the face of political correct views about race. Now, it seems to me that it's often the case that very intelligent people's brains just stop working when they get into certain areas. And one of these is crime rates by race, IQ differences by race, for example, athletic ability by race, anything having to do with race. Ordinarily intelligent people who are capable of seeing patterns in every other area of life suddenly have a drop of IQ of about 70 points and are incapable of seeing a pattern.
But, Jared, we can't talk about race anymore. You take a city like Baltimore, 600,000, the crime rate's through the roof. But you take a same city, let's say, as Seattle, Portland, which have a much wider population. Why would Seattle or Portland have less crime than, say, like Baltimore or Philadelphia or even Gary, Indiana?
I think the fact is most people understand this. And there are very, very few people, even liberals, who fail to lock their doors if they get off the wrong freeway exit and they find themselves in North Philadelphia or in South Side of Chicago. They know very well what's dangerous. If you said to them, hey, you believe in integration? Well, there is a wonderful act of integration that you could practice. You could buy a house in a black neighborhood. You could get a whole lot more house, a whole lot less money, and you could be integrating. You could be doing the wonderful thing that you think everybody should do. No, they don't do that. They're just utterly and completely hypocritical about this. And why it is they insist on pretending that something is true, lives act
now, it would be safe to say.
Hey, Pete, let me weigh in on this.
Jim?
Yeah, we're breaking up here. All right, first of all, they always bring race into it. Cops never have brought, they never brought race into it. That's a political thing. We were trained to criminally profile, okay? And it has nothing to do with race. It never did. Now, I'm going to tell you, from all the stops and frisks I've done and all the people I've frisked and all the people I've arrested, it never had anything to do with race. It's just whoever's there doing the crime is the one that you're stopping. Now, I actually criminally profiled many white people, too. Remember, I worked many of the most dangerous housing projects. You had white kids from the suburbs driving in the housing projects. I would purposely pull them over and ask them what they were doing there, and I would almost each and every time send them off on their way and tell them if they don't leave, I'm going to have them arrested, because I knew they were there to buy drugs. And by me sending them on their way, it saved their lives, because many of these stupid white kids would come down into the projects, try to buy drugs, and would end up either robbed if they were lucky or end up bloody on the streets, shot because they were robbed for what they had. Now, that happened a lot more. It's not talked about in the papers much. But that's why you got to profile, whether it's a white kid going into a project or even if it's a white guy with a bulge in his pocket on a known drug dealing corner. It doesn't matter. It's whoever's a danger. That's what stop and frisk is for. They want to turn this. They want crime to go up. That's why they're doing it. That's why you have the new Jim Crow, which I refute in my book. No matter what these blacks do, there's always going to be an excuse for it. And they always use race. Even if it's a black cop arresting them, it's just this race crap has to be. We gotta deconstruct this race thing because it's destroying everything, and that's my take on that.
Well, I think what you're saying sounds entirely reasonable to me. We have to recognize that certain populations simply commit more crime than others. That is the basic fact of life, of crime in the United States, that our rulers and our elites refuse to accept. That's all there is to it. And if you refuse to accept that, then you have to concoct all of these cock and bull stories to explain why so many more black people are arrested and so many more black people are in prison. You have to have all of these crazy, crazy explanations because people are unwilling to admit the obvious. They're more likely to be in jail because they're more likely to commit crimes. It's as simple as that.
Exactly. Right. Here's another thing. Hold on, Pete. Hold on. It's like you said before, you would say to white people, well, go move into a black neighborhood. That's exactly what we should tell all the liberals, all the people that throw race in everybody's face. I had a discussion with a Philadelphia teacher once, and they called me a racist. You know, in a friendly conversation, of course, they could throw that out easily. And I said, yeah, I'm a racist, huh? I go, where do you live? You know, of course, they lived in some whitey neighborhood. And then I said, well, if you're not a racist, why don't you move to a Philadelphia neighborhood with blacks? I go, would you feel comfortable? And they honestly said no. And I said, why? He said, because of the crime. I said, yeah, well, why do you think there's all the crime there? So it's like they don't realize how stupid their arguments are. And, you know, I know I could come off as a little angry sometimes, but really it does anger me with the either blatant stupidity of white America or the deceitfulness of the people behind what's going on.
Okay, Jim, we're coming to our last break. This is Scoop Stanton with Jim Lanza and Jared Taylor on Red42.org. Coming up, we'll have Jared talk about the Ameren Conference in April.
Scott Bradley here. Most Americans are painfully aware that the nation is on the wrong track and in dire straits. Unfortunately, most political pundits only nibble around the edges when they claim to address the issues. Even worse, many of the so-called solutions are simply rewarmed servings of what got us into the mess we currently face. And the politicians think we're so gullible and naive that we'll buy their lies that they have reformed and now understand where they led us astray. Unfortunately, the truth of the matter is that they simply wish to continue to hold power. The solution to America's challenges is found in returning to the timeless principles found in the United States Constitution. My book and lecture series will reawaken in Americans an understanding and love of the principles which made this nation the freest, most prosperous, happiest, and most respected nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com and order my book and lectures to begin the restoration of this great nation.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way. But actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Each week, the political cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the political cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
Once again, here's the potato and the pasta. I mean, Opie and Anthony. I mean, here's Jim and Scoop.
Okay, everybody, this is Scoop Stanton back on Red 42. Once again, the website is red42.org. Also, please check out Jared Taylor's website, AmerenRenaissanceAmren.org. A-M-R-E-N, .com. I'm sorry. This org.com is confusing. But anyways, Jared, coming up in April, the 27th, the 29th, we have another American Renaissance Conference. Tell us a little about what's going on those dates.
Well, we're looking forward to a sellout crowd. And when I talk about a sellout crowd, I'm not just joking, because last year we had to turn away about 100 people. We reached the absolute fire code limit on the number of people who could be seated in our meeting hall. It's a real pity we can't get a larger venue, but we have to be very careful about the places we go to, because private hotel owners can face so much intimidation that they'll cancel a contract with you. Our conferences are held at Montgomery Bell State Park in Tennessee, and the Tennessee is under a federal obligation, a First Amendment obligation, to let us gather and express ourselves, and they would never cancel a conference. When we held conferences to talk about the legitimate interests of whites, the demographic future of the West, race differences in IQ, things of this sort, we would have so much pressure on a private hotel operator that they would just cancel on us. Now, they would pay a fancy cancellation fee. We would get these five-figure checks, but and getting checks is nice, but what we wanted was a conference. And we even had people who would call up a hotel and say, if you hold that conference, we'll go in there and shoot you, for heaven's sake. Well, you pull that kind of stunt with the state of Tennessee, and they'll come looking for you. They always have these really fine-looking, well-armed, strong, very polite state police who guard our conference. And so we get Antifa floating around trying to make trouble for us. It's never a problem. So some of the speakers we're going to have, we're going to have a fellow named Marcus Follen. He is a video blogger. He goes under the name of the Golden One. He's coming from Scandinavia. He will be talking about how the defense of the West begins with you. It starts with you. How we must be better white men if we are going to defend our future. Adrian Davies, he's a very, very well-informed British lawyer. He's going to talk about the situation in Europe. We will have Sam Dixon. I suspect a lot of your listeners know who Sam Dixon is.
Oh, yeah.
Nicholas Fuentes, he's a young up-and-coming guy who is going to be talking about how his generation, Generation Z, I guess it's called, he's only 19, 20 years old, how his generation is going to solve the problems created by my generation. And I would be the first to admit that my generation, I'm sort of the tag end of the baby boomer generation, we have made a terrible, terrible mess of things. And I'm ashamed to be part of this generation that has done so much damage to our race and to our nations. And it really is up to the younger guys to pick up some of the pieces of all the stuff that we've broken. But it is always a great weekend of fellowship, wonderful talks, making new friends, linking up with old friends. We're going to have a capacity limit of about 300 people. And chances are we're going to reach that limit pretty soon. So if any of you listeners out there are interested in coming, then you should register on our page, amren.com, sooner rather than later.
Right, and I understand you also have Jim's good friend Simon Roach coming.
Yes, Simon Roach will be coming from South Africa. He is just a spellbinding speaker. He's going to be wonderful. Also, Henrik Red Ice TV, now Red Ice Productions. He'll be there. Lana Lektoff will probably be there. It's going to be a great lineup. We'll probably have some reports from the field, from some allied organizations. It is always a very, very stimulating, memorable weekend. And people always come away from it sort of with their batteries recharged, feeling like we are not at all alone. We are a movement. There are smart, hardworking, creative people out there who are fighting for our race. It's really a wonderful time.
Wow. And how would somebody go about finding out how to book a room, book a flight? Who's going to be there?
Just come to amren.com, A-M-R-E-N.com, and right on the home page, over to the right, we have an ad for the conference that you can click on. And you can register online, and the rooms are paid through us. We have booked the whole place. Every single room at the Montgomery Bell State Park is under the Amren name. It's our own little ethno state for just for the weekend. Since we have bought up all the rooms, you have to get your room through us. But they're pretty reasonable. I think they're about $90 a night for a very comfortable, pleasant room in a park that is just gorgeous. And the month of April, it's probably at the end of April, it's just going to be the best possible season to be at Montgomery Bell State Park.
Right. Now, I've heard from James Edward that the parties after the speeches are something to look forward to.
Oh, yes, they are. Saturday night, there's going to be a great, I don't know what to call it. It's quite a celebration of our movement, and people have a wonderful time.
Right. Jim, you want to add anything to this? Are you going to the Ameren Conference?
Yes, not the Ameren Conference. I want to talk about Simon Rhodes. He's not my friend. I interviewed him. I spoke to him. I still don't know what he's really all about, so I just want to clarify that. Mr. Taylor, I just want you to know you spoke about South Africa. I have many connections in South Africa. I applied formally to become the ambassador to South Africa to President Trump directly. I never received an answer. Of course not. Okay, I offered to do the job free of charge because I wanted to help the white and blacks of South Africa, but I wanted to address the overt racism there. The fact that the white farmers, the most dangerous job in the world, and that it is the murder capital of the world, and white farmers are four times more likely to be killed than even blacks in South Africa. And now, with not only all the anti-white legislation they have there, but they have now legislated that they're going to take away all white-owned land without compensation. No talks about that on the media. This is where we end up when we become a minority and when we're voiceless. And the media, they're hiding it. This is a subject that needs to be talked about because these people are going to be completely genocided soon. And I'm talking to people out there. I've spoken to some very important people in South Africa, and this is where we're headed, and this is exactly what's happening everywhere on a lesser scale, but this is what they want for everyone. And whoever's behind the genocide of South Africa is behind everything else. And one other thing. This is what happens when you give complete control to blacks and when they have the power. They will use their hatred and their racism to destroy whites, no matter how destructive it's going to be to their overall economy. And remember, the whites pay at 8% of the population, pay most of the taxes that really get anything done there. Okay? And without the white farmers, South Africa is going to starve just like Zimbabwe did. And now Zimbabwe, used to be Rhodesia, is just clamoring to get the whites back in there to farm. These people can't even farm. So I just wanted to get that out because I didn't want to get off the subject of where we were. But that's the last thing I'm going to say. Jake, Mr. Taylor, do you have anything to say about the plight of the white South African?
Oh, I certainly agree with you that when whites become a minority, especially in a black country, they can face the kind of treatment that they got in the former Rhodesia and that they're getting in South Africa. On the other hand, blacks, particularly Africans, have a complicated set of feelings about whites. It's not at all difficult to find a Nigerian or a Jamaican or even a South African or a Zimbabwean who will tell you, yeah, things are better when whites ran the country. White people are more fair-minded. White people understand technology. They understand democracy in a way that our black rulers don't. It's not at all difficult to find people like that. But on the whole, yes, when you have a black regime, they have this idea that they're going to just kick all the white people out, and all of the wealth the white people created will somehow continue to be created and will be shared and enjoyed by black people. It then finally dawns on them, well, no, the wealth requires white people there making the wealth. And as you pointed out, now that we've had this regime change in Zimbabwe, this new guy, Mwango, I can't remember his name, in any case, he has invited some of the white farmers back in. We'll just see how that works out. But there are some blacks, and a considerable number of them, who recognize that they are simply incapable of building the kind of society that whites can build, and that they have some understanding of the necessity not to alienate and all these productive white people.
Situation happened in Africa where whites are a minority. whites in the U.S. are going to be a minority. You think the same thing that could happen in South Africa could happen here in the U.S.?
It will not be quite as dramatic because the majority here will be a mix. There'll be a mix of blacks, Hispanics, Asians. I think that when whites become minority, if they are a minority in an all-black society, that is probably the most volatile and the most dangerous. Despite the fact that many blacks recognize that they need us, there is this kind of double state of mind, a kind of a hatred for us because of our success, and at the same time, an admiration because of our success. So it will not be, it'll be more like Brazil.
Right, right. All right, everybody, that's Jared Taylor. He went through this whole interview not looking at one note. This is Pete Stanton for Jim Lancia on Red 42. Check us out, red42.org. Also, go to amron.com and also get yourself down to Tennessee. This is Scoop Stanton signing off.
This is James Edwards for Red 42 Radio, reminding those patrolling the streets and the jails to be careful, be safe, take care of each other, and come home at the end of the night. So long, everybody.